You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound. Don't miss the Cleveland Browns Dog Pound Dash presented by University Hospitals on Saturday, October the 17th. That's one day before my dad's birthday. It's the all-new 5K run that starts and stops at First Energy Stadium. All participants receive an official T-shirt, bone-shaped headband, and finisher medal. After the race, you can celebrate the post-race tailgate party. The earlier you register, the more you save. So register now at dogpounddash.com or on the Browns mobile app. October 17th. So what would it be? Let's see. October 17th. It would have been 26 years ago. God, is that right? October 17th, 5:04 p.m. That was the earthquake between the A's and the Giants, the Bay Bridge World Series.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was there.
What year?
I lived there, 1989.
I was 8.
I was
10.
11.
11?
11.
11.
Yeah. The great 30 for 30 on that, by the way. I mean, I lived it. My dad had just taken we had a new TV out. We were A season ticket holders. My dad was born and raised in San Francisco, so was my mom. So it was like the coolest World Series ever for us. We just taken a new TV out, and it was a 25-inch TV, which at that time was like a big TV, and it was in the giant wood. You know, they were in those giant wood cases.
So with the cranks.
So it weighed like thousands of pounds, this TV. And literally, I remember the dog started going crazy, the earthquake hit, and that TV was like just bouncing across our living room, and then we ran out in the street, and our neighbor was like, the Bay Bridge fell down. Crazy, man. I'll never forget. October. Whenever I see October 17th, the first thing I think of.
I don't miss the earthquakes from being in California.
There's nothing. If you've never lived through an earthquake, there's really no way to describe it. Because you take for granted that the ground that you're standing on at any given time is not moving.
Correct.
It's the ground.
I remember doing being in the business center in my rookie year in the apartment that I was living in. And I'm sitting in the business center, and all of a sudden the computer starts to shake, and the chair that I'm sitting in starts to roll away from the table, and I'm like, what was that?
Like, what is...
And then, you know, of course, texts start to roll in. Did you feel that? That was an earthquake. But the natural disaster, potentially, I guess you could say, that really, you know, weighed on me and my time in California was the fires, which they're still going through right now because of the lack of rain out there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and the earthquakes can cause fire. Man, it was crazy. I remember that. That was a wild... Anyway, nice tangent for me there. Anyway, 216-578-0850. We've got Caden on the cell phone. Caden, welcome to the show.
Hi. I was wondering if there was like a... How much better is McCown than Manziel?
I would say right now the gap is fairly significant, and McCown looks very good, but I'll tell you, Johnny is looking better, significantly better now than he did at this time a year ago. Significantly better.
All right. Well, that's all I was wondering.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's a good point. And I think Johnny's not necessarily closing the gap. And I think that Josh McCown is so consistent, so professional, and such a leader that it's very difficult for Johnny to grow not only as a playmaker, you know, but as a quarterback, as a leader, so on and so forth, so much that he can lead a team. He's just not there yet as a well-rounded quarterback in the National Football League.
And let's not forget, Johnny is doing this against the twos, Josh McCown working exclusively with the ones. So it's not, this isn't a competition. I don't want to pose it as a competition at all. But it was good to see Johnny Manziel have what I thought was the best day he's had wearing a Cleveland Browns uniform. So it was because it was from the pocket. It wasn't Johnny Manziel. The ratings, man, Mr. Ratings right there, special teams coordinator Chris Tabor walking by, pointing at the chair, saying he needs to get in here and get those ratings up.
He will.
He hits every time I see him in the cafe. He's like, when do I get to come back?
He does the same thing to me, too.
He wants
you need
the
me? You need the boost?
You need the boost. You need the boost. We tried. He's walking away. He's got nice flip-flops on. All right, going back to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Dylan in Port Clinton. What's up, Dylan?
Is there any chance that we could get Shaq?
What was that?
What? Dino, what happened?
I don't know what that was.
I don't even know what he said.
I don't either. But, you know, in those situations, best not to guess. I just go ahead, hit that 10-second delay button, and we move forward.
Good.
Okay. So that was delayed for the listeners on air. I don't even know what happened. I can't even say you missed an awesome moment.
Yeah, I don't even know. It's like he was all excited to talk about Manziel, and then he decided to do that.
Okay. Cool.
No problem.
Call back.
All right. Call back if you'd like to. If you'd like to call back, go ahead and do it.
You know, serious calls, please.
So Rafe Farmer, my biggest takeaway, and it's so interesting because all the, you know, things that are said about Rafe Farmer is that he and Mike Pettine, they don't get along. He walks by with his hands in the air. I think it's a smart thing. Now, one of the reasons that I think it can work is because you heard Jimmy Haslam say there's going to be continuity. What I don't want to see happen is an organization where coaches and scouts work together to draft players for their system when the coaches and those systems are going to be blown out of here so quickly. The scouts are typically going to stay, and the scouts have an opportunity to get the best players, period, for the NFL. It's the coach's job to make them fit. But if you know that you and the coach are kind of like-minded, you know that they're going to be here and you're going to be working together for a while, I do think it allows you to really go out and not only get the best guys, but get the best kind of guys that you both want for your organization.
I agree, and I think it allows the time for the message to be conveyed and conveyed and conveyed and then actually sink in, both from an assistant coach standpoint to a scout standpoint to the general manager standpoint to a head coach standpoint, as you consistently evaluate and you consistently build what your franchise is going to look like out on the football field. You know, the communication between all sides is what I took away from Rafe Farmer. Is A, there's a process. And it's not necessarily the right process or the wrong process, but it's the Browns process.
Yep.
They have developed that. There is a system in place for them to create a 53-man roster, for them to draft everything they do. They don't just do anything on a whim, you know. And everyone, but and also too, it's a team. You know, Ray not only, you know, he went by far and away to talk about that the job that the coaches do is in most cases what gets all the limelight, because, you know, they're touching and feeling these players, you know, for lack of a better word, on a daily basis in regards to growing them as a talent, you know, on the football field, in the classroom, and so on and so forth. But the scouts, you know, the administrative assistants, the time, you know, just, I mean, the copies and the video guy for to have it all logged up and ready and queued up for these scouts and the general manager to be able to do their job to the level that a Browns fan should see fit for their team that they love. That's what I took away. And in no way, shape, and form did it seem like there's a chink in the armor or a kink in his system, because it's still a growing, developing system, because he's only, 19 months, 20 months into his new job.
Right. He is new to the job. And so, you know, in the second year, it seems like they had some issues they worked out. They had that big summit down in Florida, got everybody on the same page, and does seem to be working well. And I think when you see that roster and you see it out there, even with, you know, today, for example, no Terrence West, no Duke Johnson, no Billy Winn, no Malcolm Johnson, no Terrell Pryor, no Barkevius Mingo, no Kawan Williams, and yet there still seem to be plenty of depth out there everywhere but running back, really.
Right.
But you still had Crow, Sean Drone playing effectively in that kind of second back role. It just is nice to see this roster, and it is going to be tough. And you got undrafted guys, E.J. Bibbs stepping up. You got Darius Jennings making plays all over the place. He had two bombs today for touchdowns. One was a catch and run where he made some sick moves, and the other one he just got deep, and it was a beautiful throw from Johnny Manziel. He looked very, very good running with that second-team offense today. All right, when we come back, we are expected to be joined by Mitchell Schwartz, the Browns' right tackle, in studio here. If he is not able to make it, might have a meeting to get to. If not, we'll hear from Travis Benjamin. So we'll bring you a Browns player when we return here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars. We'll be counting.